Everyone, how's it going? It's great to see your faces, at least on screen. I know I've seen a few of you in the flesh this week. It's always great to see people stopping by. But today, of course, we know it's Palm Sunday. It's the day that Jesus entered Jerusalem. As I was deciding what to share with you, it really dawned on me that really this is perfect because this causes us to focus on Jesus. What you and I need these days is Jesus, to focus on Jesus. It's not hard to be distracted by our anxiety and uncertainty. And so we need a clear vision of who Jesus is in these days. So when Jesus entered Jerusalem, the crowd asked, "Who is this?" That's a great question. Who is this person? Who is this person riding on the donkey? Who is Jesus? And who is Jesus to you personally? He's not just a good man that has good advice or to make you happy. Those more familiar with Jesus, probably those who came down from Galilee, the region where Jesus came from, they said, "This is Jesus, the prophet of Nazareth in Galilee." Now, honestly, this is kind of a downer answer because when people come from a place like Nazareth, it really isn't very significant. It's a bit like saying, someone comes from Claremont and really it's not a very famed place at all. What's so impressive about Nazareth? Who is this man who healed the blind, who healed the lepers, and who loved the outcast? Who is this man who even calmed the stormy seas and cast out demons? As the day and the week unfolded, Jesus was actually revealing himself to us and to the world. Now, Jesus' entry into Jerusalem happened at the same time as the great Passover festival. This festival attracted thousands and thousands of Jewish pilgrims as they journeyed to Jerusalem. They gathered to remember how God had rescued them in the past from slavery in Egypt years ago. But at the same time, they were looking forward. They were pleading before God to save them from their current oppression. And so you might think about Passover time as a cry for their freedom. Now, we probably don't have anything that compares with this in Grand Prairie, but try to imagine the largest, biggest gathering in town where everyone, I mean everyone, shows up from the surrounding area and converges into one place. That was maybe something what it was like. So by the time Jesus arrived in Bethpage, which is basically a suburb of Jerusalem, he would have been joined by thousands upon thousands of Jewish pilgrims from all across the country, from the south and from the north. So what does this story tell us about who Jesus is? As Jesus approached Jerusalem, the first thing we learned is that Jesus knows everything. Jesus knows everything. So when they got to Bethpage, Jesus instructed his disciples to go to the next village where they would find a donkey tied up. Now, how in the world did Jesus know that there would be a donkey tied up in the next village? Did Jesus make prior arrangements with a local budget rent a donkey place? We don't know. Jesus even gave the disciples a so-called password to secure the donkey. He says if anyone asks of why they needed a donkey, they were to reply, "The Lord needs it." And so with that password, the person who owned the donkey would willingly give the donkey to the disciples. And that's precisely what happened. Jesus knows all things. He knows precisely beforehand where and when to secure that donkey because Jesus is not just some wise human sage with good advice. He is God in human flesh, and he knows all things. Now, you might be wondering why all this fuss about securing a donkey. Now, in verse 4, we are told that this happened because it was to fulfill a prophecy told long ago by the prophet Zechariah. We see this in Zechariah 9:9. "See, your king comes to you, gentle and riding on the donkey." Once again, Jesus knows all things. All the details of this event are being orchestrated by God himself, something God knew would happen long ago, and in that moment, it was being fulfilled. There are other verses that talk about God's knowing. Psalm 146:5 says, "Great is the Lord and mighty in power. His understanding has no limit." Can you imagine that? His understanding has no limit. It's infinity. 1 John 3:20 says, "If our hearts condemn us, we know that God is greater than our hearts, and he knows everything." Do you believe this? That Jesus knows everything? When we're uncertain about our future, we become irritated and insecure and anxious. But remember, as Jesus mounted that donkey on that day, he was letting us know that he's the kind of king that can be trusted because he knows all things and his plans are always all-knowing and perfect. We also learned that Jesus was showing himself to be a victorious servant king. Why did Jesus enter on a donkey? I mean, think about it. Jesus could have entered Jerusalem walking in like anyone else. But at this event, we have to understand that this is really a show and tell event. Jesus is demonstrating to the world that he is the Messiah, that he is the king. But at the same time, it's also to show that he was really a different kind of king from all other kings. He would be victorious by being a humble servant. Now, Jesus' entry into Jerusalem was a triumphal entry. It was the entry of a victorious king, for sure. Now, normally in that day, a victorious military ruler or king would march into the city riding a proud white war horse. But when Jesus was riding on a donkey, it was not a show of force or show of victory by the sword, but by being a servant who would eventually die for his people to save them. He would be victorious for certain, but it was a victory over our sin and death by becoming a servant who gave his life for his subjects, for the people he loved. Most important of all, when Jesus came into Jerusalem on a donkey, he was showing us that he is the king we need, not the king we want. Let me say that again. Jesus is showing us that he was the king that we need, not the king that we want. So when Jesus entered Jerusalem, the whole city was stirred, it says. And so with thousands of people lining the streets, I imagine a thunderous roar that could be heard throughout the Jerusalem city valley. People singing and shouting, "Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna to the highest heaven." You know, the word Hosanna is used as a praise today, but it actually literally means save us. That's what the people were saying. They were saying, "Save us." It's taken from Psalm 118, verse 25. So the crowd, they were going crazy with delight and tribute when Jesus passed by them. The throngs of people, they took the garments right off of their back and placed them on the road in front of Jesus as he came by. Others broke branches, including palm branches. The only time that palm branches are mentioned is actually in the Gospel of John. But they took it off the trees and from the fields, and they spread the branches and these palm branches on the road in front of Jesus as he came by. I mean, you don't just do this for anyone. They were treating Jesus with absolute royalty. You know, there's a famous story by a British explorer by the name of Sir Walter Raleigh. And he was traveling during the reign of Queen Elizabeth I and King James I of England. And so the story goes on where on one occasion he was traveling with the Queen, walking through London, and it happened to be a wet day and a rainy day. And so the ground was muddy and dirty. And so he quickly took off his cloak and placed it on the ground so that the Queen could walk over without getting her feet and her shoes wet and muddy. Well, in England, this story became famous, partly because it's not the sort of thing that happens every day. This is super uncommon. I mean, I don't remember anyone doing this for our prime minister or for the president or for the premier. Do you? I don't think so. It's a rare event. So the people who lined the streets on that day when Jesus came by probably did not have a spare coat. So their tribute to Jesus was as high as it gets, and rightly so. It implies that you would do anything for Jesus. Your devotion to him was that great. Their actions also imply that if Jesus is our king, then no one else is the king. No one else deserves this place. Everything else must be replaced by Jesus. But the crowd was really saying, Jesus is the king we want. We don't care even what the Romans are saying. This is our moment. Let's make Jesus the king that we want. We want our freedom now. And of course you understand what they wanted was very different than what Jesus came in to do. You see, there's a huge difference between the king that we want and the king that we need. And so Jesus came into Jerusalem. He did not become the king like any other king. Jesus' throne became a cross, and his crown became a crown of thorns. And no one ever imagined that Jesus would be this kind of king, and so most didn't recognize him as the king. But he became the king that we needed, not the king that people necessarily wanted. The intensity of the crowd had everything to do with their desperate desire to be saved from their problems and from their oppressors. But their real need actually lay much deeper than what they could see. Some of you remember 2001, 9/11, when those airplanes crashed into the buildings in New York. What happened afterwards was very interesting because church attendance went up by leaps and bounds. People felt afraid and vulnerable, and they came looking for something that they did not have. This is what happened when Jesus came into Jerusalem. Suddenly, everyone wants Jesus to rescue them. They want Jesus to be the kind of king they want him to be. Give us peace now, Jesus. Pay our bills now, Jesus. Remove the terror. Save me from my enemies. And do it right away. Give me the job by this time tomorrow. Get rid of this lethal virus now. And we cry out for help. Now we got to remember something. Jesus is not insensitive to our wants and our prayers and our cries and our questions. Jesus actually intends to answer our cries and our prayers. In fact, Jesus grieves when we grieve. And he hurts for us as we wait in anxiety. In Luke's version of the triumphal entry, Jesus is actually pictured as crying for Jerusalem. He weeps for Jerusalem. God doesn't wait around for us to get our house in order and for our motives to be pure before we get down to business with God. Jesus said himself, I have come to seek and save the lost. He doesn't come for those who think they're healthy, but he comes actually for the sick. He comes for the heavy burdened and the broken hearted. The story is telling us, yes, Jesus is the Messiah. He is the King. He is our God, and there is absolutely no one like him. But the only way Jesus was enthroned as our King was on a crucifixion cross. People wanted to be rescued from the evil of the Roman oppressors, and I imagine a host of other problems. But Jesus went to the cross to rescue them and us from our greatest problem. And that problem was our own sin of self-will and selfishness that lays at the core of all of our beings. We have certain expectations of God, but Jesus' answer is not the same. But the good news is this. Jesus knows your need, even when we don't. Jesus knows that you need cleansing, that you need forgiving. He knows you need his love purifying work, the work of Jesus in your life that he accomplished when he died. Jesus does not ignore your surface problems. He just needs to go deeper than we understand. And when we admit our need of him, when we admit our sin, and when we put our trust in Jesus and embrace his forgiveness, he not only forgives our sins, he changes our hearts, and in time, he will take care of the rest of the world's problems when he ushers in his brand new creation. Yes, this is the kind of King Jesus is. So, look to Jesus. He knows all things. Look to Jesus because he wants to serve you. He knows your needs. Look to Jesus because he's the King who knows exactly what you need, even when you don't. And so the people cried out to Jesus, "Hosanna, Hosanna, save us." And that's exactly what Jesus does for anyone who confesses and repents of their sins and yields their life to Jesus and trusts him, who knows far better than we know ourselves. So yes, Jesus is our King. He is our Messiah, our Savior, our God, whom we need. Let's pray. Lord, we just pause to thank you for what you have done for us many years ago. You came into Jerusalem proclaiming yourself to be King, but a very different kind of King. And I pray, Lord, that you help us understand our need of you, that we need your forgiveness, that we need your grace, we need your love, we need your Holy Spirit. And I pray that in these days, as we adjust to this new normal, that we would look to you, that we would seek you with all of our needs, with all of our problems. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.